Hello and welcome to Mike's Cast with the hosts Greg, Mike, and Shaft. It's a beautiful late spring evening.
How come we just had a normal conversation and now you're whispering?
Because I don't want to disturb the guests around us.
Well, if we talk normally like we were talking in a previous conversation.
I don't want to be as bombastic as I normally am.
On your normal retreat.
Yes.
Late at night.
If they haven't guessed, we're a
sultry sound.
Going to say it's a late spring evening. Summer doesn't come for another 5 days. It's full on summer schedule here. And the resort.
Details. Five days till summer. So,
hey, you know.
Summer started Saturday.
You got it.
Last grad night was.
Summer for Disneyland.
Summer for Disneyland.
I'm talking about, you know, on the calendar.
Like the real summer.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Not Disney summer.
The calendar.
Disney unstinged themselves and released some.
You just like because it's called the Gregorian.
Some
calendar.
Reservations for cast member sign-ins. So I'm here as a guest of Richard. Greg is here on his own recognizance.
His own guest.
And we decided that we'd get out of the studio because weather's nice. We can get in. Took us a while to find a place. Figure out where to record. Someplace new.
Yeah, well, we're stuck. There's a private party in the other park, so we could only come to this
we're only
park.
Here. We probably would have been in California, not California Adventure. It was our choice.
DL somewhere. But we started at Tim's
Test Kitchen.
Test Kitchen.
Which it's only my second time there, and I'm still not impressed.
Greg, I think, is becoming hard to impress with food.
I think I'm being less impressed every time I go.
I will say that sandwich was okay, but it's not something I would get again.
I found it satisfactory.
It's not worth the price. No. And the gimmick.
What here is worth the price?
It's a gimmick. There are some things I don't mind spending money on. I don't feel too ripped off. Because we've all gone to a fair and paid fair food prices. And for some pretty outrageously good food at the fair.
Deep fried Oreo.
I wouldn't go that far.
Snickers bar.
And I interviewed a guy once.
Fried punch.
Who ran Chicken Charlie.
Chicken Charlie,
he's there here.
That's where the deep fried Oreos are.
We interviewed him with Dead Tim. I was the cameraman for Dead Tim on that for some piece he was doing. And we were out at Pomona getting ready for the fair. And it was an interesting story of the family. And they, all year round, they deep fry shit trying to find the next great thing to deep fry.
For the next summer?
Deep fried pickles.
They did PB&Js 1 year to the point they
I do remember
they had
that
to go to the store and buy pre-made PB&Js.
Uncrustables.
Yeah. Klondike bars.
I don't have a button to push down.
What's that?
I don't have a button. Excuse me.
You know, they've done Klondike bars, all kinds of... But it was really... really interesting, but anyways, I don't know, when I got a chicken salad that looks like a giant taco, okay.
The humongous chicken salad.
This wasn't the place I wanted, wasn't top of my choice to eat at, plus I've had poor service here the last time I ate, and then the taco shell, basically, you touch it, fell apart, and the whole thing was cold. The chicken inside of it wasn't warm. I mean, think if you go to like an El Pollo Loco.
They probably pulled that out of a fridge. They probably pulled it from a fridge.
But think you go to El Pollo Loco, for example, and you get something that's chicken on a salad.
It's hot.
The chicken's going to be warm.
Someplace chicken's cold.
I don't like cold chicken.
Well, you know.
I mean, that's
was it the description?
Picnic chicken.
No, I don't think it was. I'm neither hot nor cold. I just made an assumption. It was okay. Overpriced, but it was just okay.
You know, you just talk about service. The service was table dirty. Takes forever for a dude to come over and clean it.
Oh, yeah. Yet we walked over to Flo's because it's one of our favorite places to record.
Dude followed us around to wipe the table because we kept changing.
We kept changing tables on the poor guy, and he was right there with us.
We hadn't even got a butt in the seat yet, and I commented to the guy. Yeah. I said, you just made Pim's
look bad.
Look really bad. I mean, he's like, thank you.
Yeah.
But he was all over it.
It was Jelly that was taking care of us over there.
As we were, I was watching the Pim group. Because, see, this happened the first time I was at Pim, which was for breakfast. All the cast members that are supposed to be bussing tables were all standing by the trash cans talking. They're not, and I've noticed there's a proliferation of that in the park.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Cast members grouped together. and they shoot the shit.
And there's no manager to come along and kick them in the butt.
We sat on the tram for like 5 minutes.
It seemed like forever. Yeah. I didn't time it, but yeah. I could see the driver and some dude having a conversation. Because the guy in the back, okay, ready to go, and the driver come up, no, hang on. I'm like, all right, whatever.
And you know, in this kind of, Mike says we got a comment on, was it X?
Yes.
That
we're too negative.
That we're too negative. Well, sometimes you can't help it. We're not the Pixie Dust podcast. You know, we're not going to praise them when there's things that, you know.
I'd like to point out, if I wasn't old, I'd still have these opinions about the place.
Yes.
You know?
And should I say, dare I say, it all started first with parking. I've got a handicap placard. I don't expect special service, just a decent place to park. Nobody's helping you. They're just pointing you go that way.
One
it's
person
an automatic,
on the bottom floor.
Yeah, it just directs us to the ramp, and it's like, which ramp do you want? Yeah, either or.
And no one telling cars where to go.
No, it was kind of a melee up there.
You can go wherever you want. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I have to think at opening they're directing cars.
Usually they are. If you're there.
But
in the
I don't know at what point they stop.
It reminded me of a Goofy cartoon we all saw in driver's ed school with the cars all going around.
Yeah, and if you go down an aisle and there's no space, you have to start
all the way around. Yeah,
yeah. But so we did that, and you know, I have a love fest with, or love hate fest, I guess, with bag check. So we got there, and I thought, I'm not going to take my wallet out, see what happens. Because the last time I had a guy that told me it was my wallet and made this big show of waving it through the checker.
Oh, that's awesome.
And was just a class A jerk. I wish I would have got his name. But anyway, so I go through, left my wallet in, nothing. My belt didn't set it off. This new belt I got, you know, it's funny, I spent a lot of money in this belt. It's supposed to be like a 100-year belt. But send me to the grave with it. I don't care. I just never set it off. But the cheap ones that I would buy, like at Target or
Amazon,
Kohl's,
yeah.
And I'd go through every few months because they don't last. Those things would set it off all the time. But this one's a really nice, thick leather, nice metal thing. It didn't set it off. Well, it didn't set it off. But the guy checking two things I had with me, my phone and my keys, got obsessed with a P-38. Which is on my keychain. And for those non-military people,
I was going to say, explain that.
It's basically a little can opener that
it's about this big.
Yeah, it's really small.
It's what you see.
About this tall.
It's what you see in the movies, like all the Korean films, where the guy is sitting there in the foxhole and he's opening up the can of spam with it there.
And it's got a little point that opens, and it's pointy. I mean, that's not hurting, but if you poked it hard enough,
it's meant to open a can.
Yeah, it's meant to open a rations.
Yeah.
And
rations, I like to point out, that haven't been used in the military probably since the early 80s.
Because it's all tear off in the bag.
And I've had this since the early 80s.
Greg's an old guy.
Wasn't actually issued to me. I got it in an Army-Navy surplus.
After the
close to the base at the same time. But I've used this at home when I can't find a freaking can opener. I still haven't figured out why things don't go back where they come out.
That's a universal problem.
Right?
So let me do the reenactment. The guy goes like this. Says something to you.
I said that's a P-38 can opener I got in the military.
Then he calls his buddy over, hands it to him. And meanwhile, I'm standing there holding all my shit because you only have one or two of the little things you throw your pocket crap in. And the second guy goes and runs off to find somebody else.
And then they called the lead because the second guy, I think, was going to say, don't let it in. So I'm thinking, I'm not throwing that away. I've had that for 40 years.
I was all set to ask them to call the lead in if they didn't.
I was going to, I'll walk back to the car before I, you know. Finally, they did call a lead over. She knew Richard. I don't think it was, but she had already kind of looked at it and kind of said,
yeah, she already made the decision. You know, yeah.
let it go. That's nothing. I'm like, I said, I've had that since the early 80s. That's part of my military history.
Okay, so you want to see the most dangerous thing on here.
I thought he was obsessed with, like, that
bottle cap?
Yeah, thought maybe, like, oh, I'm a fan of that show, too.
Oh, is that from Fallout?
Fallout, yeah.
When I bought it, I didn't even notice it was Fallout. I thought it was like a Coke cap. And I thought, this is cool.
Nuka-Cola.
But we bought it at a place that's in the game and was supposed to be in the second season.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing it there.
It was, but it was all broken down. That was the New California Republic.
Anyways, it's the oldest running bar, restaurant, whatever, in Nevada. It's just over the state line.
That's the most dangerous thing right there.
What is that? Oh,
it's a key.
It's my front door key.
Oh.
One of my two front door keys.
Oh.
But the first time I've had someone obsessed on the key. Usually they see your keys and like, oh, keys.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
But yet the same dude had no problem with this. The phone is sitting on. The giant cord. My two packages of whatever and the three batteries I have.
No, because they're used to seeing all the other kids bring all that stuff in, too.
But okay.
Yeah, and Richard set it off by something he had on him.
Too. My phone case on my belt, I forgot, has the magnet on there. So
either way, so we're here. We're not live streaming because we pooped on that a few episodes ago that we don't like it, so we're not going to...
Well, no, it's... I think there's a fine line here. We're not live streaming to draw attention to ourselves.
Yes, trying to be quiet, out of the way, surreptitious.
Do it exactly like we're doing right here. We wouldn't swat ourselves. We wouldn't
ourselves.
Do anything unordinary. So for that person who said we're too negative, I don't look these necessarily as a negative, but constructive criticism is the inconsistency.
Yeah. You want to know what to expect every time.
Remember a day
hold your breath,
when
clench
you
your butt cheeks.
Have walked 5 feet if you saw a piece of trash without it already being picked up. Now that's not true. Sloppy looking cast members, tables
think
that are
about,
dirty.
Okay, we're at the end of a street that's closed off, right?
Yes, for construction.
When was the last time you've seen a sweeper walk by?
I haven't seen one.
I haven't seen a sweeper.
Actually, I haven't seen the guy that cleans the tables off since we sat down.
I was just
but
here
I'm
on Saturday.
I'm not in the right direction, so.
No, and I didn't see any. I hardly saw any sweepers.
Really?
Yeah.
We were following one guy through the queue to go to the trams back to the structure. But he was pushing a giant bin with a grabber.
I usually don't see security. I won't see security all day, and then I'll see five of them bunched together, talking and shooting the shit.
But I've literally watched you standing 10 feet from a security officer and you couldn't see him.
Why? Because I didn't say something to you? Oh, look.
No. You flat out were standing here and I had a security officer right there and you're going, see, there's no security around here. And I'm going.
I don't recall that. But, you know, they dress like guest services, so sometimes it's hard to.
That is a problem. And I have brought that up numerous times that. You can't tell our costume
well,
from a lot
now,
of other
guest
costumes.
Well, guest services doesn't wear the stupid yellow
vest
in the park.
It's not guest services, it's guest control. So you got all your parade people, all your attraction people.
They don't wear the yellow vest. Now they stand out a little more because they have yellow vests.
And that's the reason why is because you
couldn't
tell us
from
everyone else.
Well, they would wear a costume
else.
That looks like it's a security costume.
There, now we got somebody taking care of the tables.
What's that?
Now we got somebody taking care of the tables here.
They got bumped. Yeah. All right, so anyway.
So the subject we were going to talk about tonight was the Club 33.
Oh, yeah, Club 33.
So.
Someone, was this your own position or did you read it someone else?
No. It sparked the question of, to me, inwardly, which I expressed to you guys, is the proliferation of Club 33s around the parks around the world cheapened what the original club was all about.
What it was meant to be.
So it starts at the New Orleans Square, right? There are a lot of different stories of where the name came from. We're not going down that road. It was Walt's private club adjacent to his private residence, apartment, whatever you want to call it. So that was it. That was the only one. I remember, I think it was in the 80s, reading something in Disney News magazine, and this would have probably been post Eisner, so now Disney News is not this private little magazine to the Magic Kingdom Club members, which was great and informative and very detailed. Now it's a commercial rag with advertisements, flashy colors, and
no negativity blah, blah. Here.
Yeah. No, it's just a simple description.
Yeah.
And they showed a Club 33 at Tokyo Disneyland.
Yeah.
I thought, okay.
Do they have a New Orleans Square there?
No. But there, I think it's around, I don't remember exactly where it was. I want to say it might have been off of Main Street. This was a long time ago. I read this, so don't hold me to that. But I thought, well, you know, the Tokyo Land Company pays Disney a shitload of money to license, build the best attractions in the world, probably. Though China's got some pretty decent ones I've seen online now. I can't say I've personally experienced them, but we will have John, Aussie John, on soon. He's been, him and his wife have been traveling the world parks, and especially the Asian ones. I really want to get his input and what he thought. But today I saw a post out of Epcot that, okay, let me maybe ask, where do you think, are you guys aware there are Club 33s in all the parks, or a lot of the parks?
I want to say, I did know that they put one somewhere in Animal Kingdom. And I want to say I did know there's one. What's the one in Epcot?
I want to say there's a couple in Epcot.
The only one I remember for sure thinking, wow, that's pretty interesting they decided to put one here, was Animal Kingdom.
I want to say, I'm not 100% sure, that I saw some people walking through a jungled area that might have been Adventureland close to the new Beacon Barrel.
Okay.
But that may have been Animal Kingdom. I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah, put the chair back where you got it.
Oh my gosh. Wait, okay. I'm waiting. The chairs. These aren't, you know, for the Disney park, these are relatively heavy and well put together chairs. Yeah,
they're actually and fairly comfortable.
And they're not bad. Because some of them have those silver ones that you think they're going to be heavy and you touch them, they probably fall over.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to just.
So the one I saw was in Epcot. It'd just take a while. We don't have our whip around music. Where in Epcot do you think they'd put a Club 33? If you were thinking, hey, we should put a Club 33 in Epcot. Okay. All right.
That's what I was going to say. Or the old Odyssey area.
Odyssey would have been. I miss the Odyssey. I like that.
And then.
Maybe World Showcase would be an American Adventure somewhere.
That was my thought there.
Ding, ding, ding. Cookie to the man okay. over there. So if you were looking straight on to the American Adventure.
Across
and
the lake.
Richard is the gift shop. You're the entry. That cup roughly is that there's two doors. And next to the door closest to the entry, there's a round button.
It says whatever, 33 on it?
It says Club 33 on it.
Interesting.
And I thought, another one? Why? I mean, this isn't like an attraction, but it is a way to extract money out of guests that are willing to pay
it's becoming
everything
kind of an
to become an elite Disney guest or experiencer, Disney adult, whatever you want to call it. And we know what the prices are. I mean, I know what the prices were when I applied and I finally got to my time of saying yes or no, and I'd been laid off. Like, because I was going to do it 1 year. It would have been a chunk out of my savings. But I thought, I'll do it 1 year.
Sure.
And then maybe the end of that year.
Depending on how the year went. Yeah, okay.
You know, maybe I'll re-up it. But the initial buy-in is not cheap. But I was doing okay. And now I'm thinking, they're just.
So how many Club 33s are there?
I don't know for sure. Because I didn't look that information up. When I saw this, I'm like, another Club 33. Well,
now,
while, you know, I'm not looking at the camera, I will look it up and keep the conversation
okay,
going.
Okay, so here's, go ahead.
I was going to say, should we, I know you said we're not going to mention it because there's several different stories, but the story that I was told on the origins and where it began did come from Dick Nunes, and, I'm trying to remember who else it was that was there, one of the old timers that was around.
Tony?
No, did not come from Tony Baxter.
No, the other Tony. guy who grew up, whose house was moved?
Oh, that's
Tony. Ron. That's Ron Dominguez.
Oh, Dominguez. That's Ron Dominguez. Tony.
Anyways, yeah. From what Dick Nunes was talking about was 1964, we had the World's Fair going. Walt had the four attractions that we built for the World's Fair. And when they were there in New York, Flushing Meadows, they, when he was going around and walking around, he was invited to talk to people with the different pavilions. And every pavilion had their own little private room off to the side where we can have this private talk.
Their lounges.
Their lounges.
For networking.
Right.
Exactly.
And he thought this was the neatest thing in the world, and he thought Disneyland should have something just as the same.
Well,
and
no one is disputing that part. It's the name that people...
But he was... Okay. He was just giving the background while you were looking shit up.
So...
I have.
Okay.
So when New Orleans was being developed, which was immediately after the 64 World's Fair, he had the club added in there. And yes, the address was 33 Royal Street, so that's where I got its name from. It's not there anymore. They moved it down the street. But anyways, so he had this built as a nice little club that you can get snacks. And it was part of the kitchen that was right above the Blue Bayou restaurant. So, and then when he had special guests, various town, you know, he would have like Annette Funicello, or he'd have, you know, what ambassador is there, he can take them away from the crowds and away from all the, you know, prying eyes and everything, and just have a nice, quiet time with them where they can have a nice lunch or something like that and talk things away from things. And it worked out really well. And
well, not for him it didn't, because he never experienced it.
Never got to use it.
So, but he, so it, and then over the years it became kind of just the private club where people would have other businesses would bring their people in to have do business meetings and whatnot. And in the meantime, when we had special guests coming in, you know, Elton John, for one, they would take him up there to get for lunch or something to get away from the crowds and everything, just where you have a nice relaxing time away from things. And then it became kind of, you know, the exclusive club. You know, there was people that had memberships and they would do the things. And but I don't know when it started elsewhere, when we built this park, California Adventure. When we built this park, immediately somebody said, well, where's our Club 33 going to be? And I go, there's only one Club 33. That's the one in New Orleans Square. And it ended up being the 1901 Club, which is part of Carthay Circle.
Yeah, you're
and,
getting ahead of the story now.
Well, I'm talking
because,
about...
Because, no, that is part of...
Right. I'm talking about this part because this is the stuff I live through now.
Well, I know, but hold that till we get to that part, because I have the list.
Well, because
and
I...
And it'll be part of that, and you'll get to explain
well, I'm,
how
I'm
that...
Well, I'm saying that because...
I know, but you're ahead of the... Just slow the horses down a little bit.
Please, continue.
Yeah. Thank you. This is my show. No, just kidding.
Excuse me.
Camera died.
A little bit of an interruption there.
All right, someone knocked our camera over, so we're
recalibrating there. And we're on.
Okay. Now, since you brought up all that prehistory,
one of Wayland, four teenage girls,
and now, and well, on one hand, the chair is turned around backwards, but they're not paying attention.
And I kicked the chair.
She kicked it purposely.
I don't know if she kicked it purposely, but you know, who freaking?
Yeah, I know. I'm just happy that because when they all started gathering, I thought we'll get this loud group next to us.
Oh my gosh.
Since you went into prehistory, I just need to go back there a little bit because Mike and I have a little bit of knowledge because we used a play off the name for 33 Royal Street. We reversed it for a...
Well, it's 21 Royal is what we used.
Oh, it's 21. Okay, sorry. Which 21, which is the back stairway the up, to the,
yes.
up to the gallery. Well,
which they closed off to
yes,
everybody in the world. But give us the list.
Okay. But I was going to say, it's always been a private exclusive club.
Yeah, it's always been private.
Got
yeah.
more exclusive. It's always been super exclusive. You know, and yes, the address. Now, and it makes sense. It had an address. I don't know if the alcohol license was tied to that actual address versus.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
But,
yeah.
You know, that's been a long time. One of the few things that actually made sense to me is you need an address for a liquor license. Okay. Do you want 1313 Harbor Disneyland as your liquor license? Back then, they didn't do liquor in the
Although,
park, so.
It was interesting when we had some of our enchanted evenings, private parties where alcohol was being served out in the park.
Yeah.
The alcohol was being served by bartenders from Club 33 under the Club 33 licensing.
Yeah, so. That's why I'm saying, because those were weird little evenings. Because
just
New Orleans Square might be open, and you talk about food. This wasn't like chicken fingers and tater tots.
Oh no!
This was like luxury food.
They had
in the silver
buffet, you know, big buffet with all the fine silverware and all the servers with their white gloves on,
yeah.
and they serving lobster, serving this steaks and everything. And it's like
it was pretty cool.
All right, okay. Give us our list.
So we know of the original.
Yeah.
And now these aren't going in chronological order, it's just listen.
Then why was the big deal about me in the 1901 club?
Just go on. Just go on.
Have you lost some patience yet?
I am losing patience, yes.
Be nice.
It says while DCA does not have a formal Club 33, they do have the exclusive access to the 1901 lounge hidden inside Carthay Circle.
Right.
Now, we all remember when. That came up.
Is that upstairs or downstairs?
It's another first floor. I've never been in it. So
it's downstairs when you're looking at the main door. Door on the right.
Wait, right. I've seen people go in there for the bar. Isn't that the bar lounge? I thought what's upstairs.
That's all there is a bar lounge.
Downstairs? I've been in that bar lounge. That's not 19. That can't be the exclusive
place. That's 1901.
That can't be the exclusive place. I've been in there.
And you weren't invited in there.
No, I just Ben and I walked in there.
Yeah, that can't be the 1901. I thought it was upstairs, but. Regardless, it's located in the car. We could check
on the way out the door.
Yeah. Sure, it's located in the car thing.
Remember, this park closes in an hour.
Hour 10. 10's important because we can sit here until right on the dot.
Well, I need to pick up my package for.
Oh, good point. There's a big controversy because they were going to do like a separate club membership, and then the Club 33 people were upset because. They had their exclusive thing, and they didn't want to be mixed in with who gets rights to what. Club 33 thought they had rights to 1901. So I think I don't know how that was ever resolved, but
it might be just resolved that it was just an extension of 33.
So the Magic Kingdom, the captain's quarters located next to the entrance of Adventureland, that's the one I think I saw.
Okay.
And people were yelling at him, how's it feel to be, you know, I was like, get over it. You know,
don't be jealous.
Exactly. Epcot may have more than one. Oh, no. Epcot, the Constellation Club, though I saw a round thing that said it had 33 on it, located in the upper level of the American Pavilion at the World Showcase. Hollywood Studios, the Spotlight Lounge, located above
the Brown Derby.
And behind the Hollywood Brown Derby. You are correct. You get two cookies today. Animal Kingdom, the Harambe House, located in the African section of the park.
Harambe House.
International. Tokyo Disneyland, this is the first one I knew of outside Disneyland, located on the second floor of the World Bazaar.
Okay, that's their Main Street, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought it might have been Main Street. Shanghai, housed in the courtyard, along Mickey Avenue. Main's not
Sounds like Main Street, yeah.
And it doesn't appear, at least according to this AI list, that Hong Kong has one.
AI list. You're trusting AI?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a quick
search. So, the question is, do all these things dilute the exclusivity, right? Is that the way you put the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think that if they all cost the same, I don't think no exclusivity is diluted.
I don't... Yeah, it'd be interesting to know if they cost the same.
Because if they all cost the same, then... The barrier to entry is not been lowered, so therefore it can't be diluted. Just because there's more shares or more opportunity The barrier is the same. The barrier is the same.
And I wonder, does your Disneyland one get you into Epcot? Does Epcot get you into Shanghai? Oh,
see, I think
that's a really good
question.
And
I would say that, no, I would say they're exclusive to their own environment.
What about Magic Kingdom, Florida? They've got five parks.
Good question.
Do they all? Can they mix mingle?
These are very good questions.
Can they have a keys party?
A lot of you kids don't understand that. Ask your parents.
I don't think kids.
No, their parents are the same.
Ask your grandparents.
There's a reason why you're here.
I don't want to know that part.
And I didn't do the kind of research to see if, you know, if you can cross pollinate. I don't know. I don't know what Richard thinks. My thought is.
Do you know what I think?
You've taken something that was super exclusive, connected directly to Walt, who had design input.
Yeah.
And was there for a distinct meaning for him and his guests to try to call something a Club 33 in a place that's not where the original is. Feels to me like you've got people that want that membership. But they're not coming out here, and you're just going to suck more money out of them.
I also look at it, though, as part of it is what Walt originally was talking about, is to be able to get away from the crowds, be able to relax.
Yeah.
So even if you have those type of guests that are in those parks, this would still be a nice lounge to be a way to, quote, get away from it all for just a short bit while you're enjoying
the
park.
But it was a thing where he could take people away or entertain the people he allowed as the guests, and he already had a space for that.
Yeah, there's the above the firehouse.
Nope, and yes, because there is a veranda up there where he did serve food, but there's another place on Main Street he used to have his own private dining room at. The Red Wagon Inn, which became the Plaza Inn.
Oh, okay, so in the back somewhere?
Well, remember we had the controversy that I thought we knew that the Plaza Pavilion was one time the Red Wagon Inn, but when we were talking about Jolly Holiday, which was used to be Plaza
Pavilion,
and we found some record that said it was the Red Wagon Inn at one time. So let's just call it the Plaza Pavilion. Used to have a private dining room where he entertained his guests, his sponsors and things like that before Club 33.
All right. Yeah.
So it's not like he didn't have, and you're right, his apartment. Not like he couldn't entertain.
So the thought that got triggered for me was, how long is a waiting list? How many members do they allow? Do we know these things?
Well,
like, is the membership's capped, right?
They used to say 10 years. I waited
5-ish, maybe, if I'm.
8 maybe. Didn't quite 10, but 8.
Okay,
maybe.
But so there's a limit, right? There's a number.
Yes.
We only allow 100 members. But, I know that's more than that, but that's
just to give just a number.
Just a number to work
with. When they expanded the club here
across the way,
I believe I read that they also increased the membership,
yes,
which upset a lot of the old time members.
Okay.
Because it's now diluting. Or they felt it was diluting their exclusivity.
Okay. Yeah.
So what? All right. So we're going to say, but is that if the Club 33 here at Disneyland has, I'm going to say 100, and the Consolation Club at Epcot, because that's the only name I remember. Oh, Captain's Quarters at Magic Kingdom, also 100. If you're from here and you go there, I don't know if you can, if you have reciprocity agreements.
That'd be interesting to know.
You would think they would because they charge you a butt ton of money.
Sure. And that butt ton of money doesn't get you in the park.
No, that comes extra.
You would think for that shit ton of money. It's not a butt ton. It's a shit ton.
They give you like 2 tickets in the summer and 2 tickets in
just
the winter.
Just like cast members get.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, on one hand, I can think of the argument. Yeah, it's diluted. There used to be 100 people. Now it's 500 people. 100 for each park, right? I know the numbers aren't that.
Yeah.
But I would think they're the same. right?
It depends on the size of the facility, I would think.
Well, you know, maybe yes, facility. But how about the locals that come? Right? Is there a lot of, because some of the memberships are corporate memberships,
yeah,
of companies that are,
yeah,
that's big companies.
That's why Karen went the first time, or first dozen times, was a doctor that, you know, she worked,
she knew,
for,
yeah,
took them for buffets,
so,
all the
so
time.
So, you know, what big company that used to be a sponsor or still a sponsor?
GE.
Okay, so GE has a corporate. I'm pretty sure that whoever has a GE membership can go here and over there.
A guy, a place of that size, yes.
Yes.
But what about, let's say Joe Mee. Let's say Joe Mee,
I
signed up.
Your private citizen signed,
yeah,
up, right?
But.
Didn't any of the documents you get talk about the other places?
You know, I saved all. No, because I don't think any of those existed back then.
You don't think the Magic Kingdom one existed back then?
No.
But if
if
GE is a sponsor here, you know they're going to be a sponsor over there, so they probably got a membership for both places.
Whoa,
so they paid that membership
and
they paid that membership.
What makes you think just because you're a sponsor on one coast that you're a sponsor on the other coast?
I'm saying more than likely you got a company that
I know
size.
For a fact Delta was a sponsor on both coasts. They sponsor Dream Flight there and Circle Vision here.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Coca-Cola. I'm sure Coca-Cola has a corporate.
First time I went? It was Eastern was the sponsor, and Eastern was the official airline.
And it was the
GAF
if you had
photography, and Sun Bank, yeah,
and
was the
PSA,
bank.
PSA was the official airline here at Disneyland.
Yeah,
I remember GAF being.
Yeah, and then Polaroid was after that.
Oh,
then Kodak.
And before PSA, it was Hughes Air West.
Yeah.
PSA. Oh, here?
Yeah.
All right, so what do you look up? Opening dates for these places?
Yeah.
All right, well, we know 33 is 66, 67, right? Because New Orleans is a space open before Pirates did.
Well, you know, we should say, because we've seen Walt dedicating New Orleans Square.
Yes.
It's very likely that he may have experienced Club 33.
Well, there.
Because just because Pirates wasn't open yet, the rest of the streets were open. I'm going to guess the restaurant was open.
There is a picture of him in the trophy room.
Okay.
When he's pointing
which
up
was,
to some of the...
Which was the extent of Club 33 at the time.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it was open. No.
But it was built.
They didn't cross the bridge over to the next place until later, I thought.
No, you had the back dining room.
Let's say the whole horseshoe, if you will, that goes over Cafe Orleans.
Yeah.
And the one over Blue Bayou.
That was all the original. That was the original.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The new one that kind of looks like Preservation Hall, yeah, that was added, what, about 20 years ago.
Oh, interesting. Some of this is real new. Okay, Disneyland, we knew June 15th, 1967, official opening. So Walt was dead.
Yes.
But doesn't mean didn't see the place.
He got to see it. Maybe he had a lunch.
Okay, Tokyo, this is what I thought, April 15th, 1983. So those are the two
right,
old
that's
ones.
When it opened. Tokyo Disneyland opened in 83, did it not?
Okay,
no, it opened 82. It opened the same year as Epcot.
I don't
know. Okay, for now that's fine. It sounds good to me. Shanghai, 2016.
Okay.
Walt Disney World opened in phases. Hollywood Studios, 2018. Epcot, 2018, later that year. Magic Kingdom, 2018. Animal Kingdom, 2020. So they're all relatively.
So now I'm
recent.
Changing my answer.
Oh, okay.
That's a dilution.
That
does not sound like an organic expansion.
No, it does
right?
not. Does
no, it
we,
doesn't.
We, you know, we built Magic Kingdom. We're gonna throw Club 33 here. We built Epcot. We're gonna throw Club 33 here.
Were three
of them open in the same year? That's money grab dilution. So I changed my answer.
That's Bob Iger for you.
Yeah, it's all under his reign, isn't it?
Well, all the new ones, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look up, see if they got info. There's a club.
How much it cost to get?
No, I could care less about that. Does a Club 33 Disneyland membership?
So the only one you can really say is organic was Tokyo.
Yeah.
And that's something from the Oriole Land Company that you know.
Yeah.
They would want something like that.
All right, we've been at it for 40 minutes.
All right, let's
and do we have answers? Never. No, never, never have an answer. No.
No, it says a Disneyland Club 33 membership does not grant you access to Walt Disney World Club 33 locations. Membership to the exclusive clubs is part specific.
That's dilution. That's definitely dilution because...
In a way, it's like the timeshare. Oh, I can't get in the one I want. I'll just get the one over here instead.
Yeah.
At least I'm in one of the clubs.
Yeah.
Right?
And I'll just go there when I'm visiting that area.
And what's your home club? Oh, well, you can't go to your home club. No, but this, you can't if it's club locked. Holy smokes!
You would wonder, and there might be more details. Like, let's say, not true reciprocity, but for $100, can I go?
Some passes or something. Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you right now. If I had the wherewithal, and I had to pick a Florida place, I'd go to Epcot. I joined the Constellation Club.
Epcot sounds good to me.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Cheshire smile, I know.
You're not going to do Epcot? You're going
to
do it?
No. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with an answer he had.
Oh.
And an answer you had. One of you was right, and one of you were wrong.
Tokyo Disneyland?
Yes.
83. Was I right?
Opened in 83.
Ah! It did open in 83.
Ah! On the date that the club opened.
So. Oh, see?
Then it definitely was
organic.
Organic on that one, yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know.
Your things are wiggling.
Oh, thanks.
I remember that.
Excuse
because,
me. No.
That sounds good.
How can you tell?
I
remember because when I was working, 82 is when I started. And when I was working at Tomorrowland Terrace, we had all these Japanese cast members all working
training.
In there.
Yeah.
They're all training with us over there. And that's why I remember because shortly around Christmas time, was when they, I guess, 82 Christmas time.
Yeah, they left, 80, so they would be open. Yeah,
getting ready for, 83, so yeah.
See, okay, so were you guys going where you would pick one?
Yeah.
Well, I'm home here.
Yeah, no, I said if I had to go to Florida, if I had to pick a Florida one.
I'd say you had the disposable cash, you want one in Florida also.
No. Hey, this is, there's no way you're getting in here.
Oh.
Your only choices are over there.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to Epcot.
Although the African one sounds kind of neat too.
To be honest, I'd kind of like to see what the interiors look like.
I'm
very much about the ambiance for a place like this. So I might say Adventureland first, Epcot second.
Well, you see, you're Magic Kingdom homie, that's why.
I am a Magic Kingdom, even though they're destroying the Magic Kingdom I first visited in 1975. It's not going to look, other than maybe, hopefully Main Street gets left alone, the rest of the park. I think, I'm not sure if I saw this picture correct. Did you hear about the big towers at the entry?
Yes.
I saw a picture that looked like the water fountain, you know, the water flow and the tall spires are gone.
Oh, yeah?
Huh.
So I need to find
there's been water flowing over this forever. I know that.
I know, and they painted them weird pastel colors for a while. But I got to see it when the water flowed.
Same.
And that was awesome.
Yeah.
To me, their Tomorrowland felt like those pictures you've seen. I think they were done by John Hinch of what Tomorrowland 68 or whatever would have been at Disneyland when they originally planned Space Mountain for Disneyland. You had two levels of movement going on.
Well, World in Motion,
And
in the front of Tomorrowland here at Disneyland, we had those fountains too.
Yes, that I think could be brought back.
It could.
And it had the, the silver, like aluminum, because that was real big in the day as a new thing. I think a Harambee one would probably be last, because that's my least favorite part. Because it's never open at night anymore. I got lucky and experienced it at night. But people are bitching now that it's never open after dark.
Really? Not even Avatar Land? It's all glow-in-the-dark shit?
I know. No. People are saying they've just been closing early.
Well, that just tells you that Disney thinks it's a half-day park now. If it closes at 6 every day.
I hear attendance has been down. These are all anecdotal things.
Yeah.
You said you were in the park the other day. It wasn't very slow. He says there's never a slow day in the park.
It wasn't bad at all. No, hardly any waits.
Well,
that's a slow day.
That's awesome.
We saw lots of people. But,
No,
nobody was waiting in line.
I'm literally looking at the park from about half a mile to a mile away.
I know, so. But prior to that, you were like, there's never a slow day in the park.
Yeah, it was always busy. It was always packed.
I guess it's a relative thing, though, too. What you're able to stand or
take,
endure,
yeah, yeah,
take,
yeah. Endure,
as a line.
So you know? Neither of you have chimed in if you think it's a dilution or not.
I think it. No, that.
No, I agree with you 100%. It's diluting what the purpose of Club 33 was.
But prior to seeing those dates, were you a delusion or just an expansion?
I was looking at an organic expansion, but the fact that they are what they are, yeah, I would have to agree with Mike 100% is that it's diluting the product, and the whole purpose is just basically being a moneymaker. It's not like they're going for a specific need or desire to it. It's
more
the,
cash
just,
grab.
Just
so let me ask you, because I know what my answer would be. If you had the ability and you tried to get into Club 33 here, you put your names on the waiting list, you were able to pay it, why would you want to join Club 33 at Disneyland? What would be your motive to join this?
Well,
we should wrap it up with this because do have time to, or we need to wrap it up.
That's okay. Yeah. No, would I?
Okay, I'm saying you have the money.
Okay.
You have the
so
time
money's not
to
an
wait.
Object.
Well, it's not that it's not an object, but you're able to pay it. You've got the time to wait.
Okay.
Why?
Well, then that forces me to acknowledge my own nerdiness about the place,
that's
right?
That's okay. That's fine.
Right? Because, shit, you've known about it when you worked here back in the 80s. It didn't become a widely known thing until the internet came along.
Not widely. People knew, but not widely.
Yeah, but you know, information age.
Sure. Blew it wide open,
right? But, yeah, I'd do it because...
Yeah, you might have walked by and people would... I remember seeing people point up... What's going on up there?
Yeah.
Even before the gallery opened, there'd be lights up there sometimes. We found out later those were offices, but you're like, what's that up there? And then somebody said, oh, it's a private club. And that still is about all I knew. So, sorry to interrupt, but
yeah, no, I'd do it. Why? Because I think it's cool. I think it's a cool place.
Okay.
I've been there once.
Just once? Just one of
the
VPN lunch?
Just the one time that John Dubbs old buddies got us in there.
At the time we flashed out all the money to take the picture. It was like a couple grand.
It was $1,000 bill, right? $1,000 lunch bill for 17 people, I think.
And one of our listeners got lucky. I had because it's the time I was taking care of my grandmother. I got a call. I said, I got to leave. Would you like to take my place in Club 33? Thought he was going to fall over and faint. And I said, hey, I was going to buy a polo shirt. Can you buy me? I'll pay you back. He just gave it to me. The opportunity to go to the club was... worth more to him than whatever they charge for that polo shirt. And I still have it. It's very nice. It's very well made. All right, Richard.
Good question. In the past, I probably would have.
But no, you can. You have the money. You have permission.
No, I'm
why?
Saying in the,
why would you or
okay.
would you not?
Well, I'm saying I don't think I would. I don't think I would go into
why the, wouldn't you?
Okay. Never been there. I mean, outside of work. Going through it, doing some work stuff in there.
You've never eaten in the club?
I've never eaten in the club. I've gone into it for work reasons, whatever reason in there. But no, never visited the club or anything. And now it's kind of like old stuff. I mean, it just doesn't have the interest
in it. Are you disenchanted a little bit?
Disenchanted? Yeah, that would probably be a good phrase for it.
And I understand the disenchantment. Working here changed my perspective a little bit of, not Disney's a corporation or operation.
But you lose some of the magic.
Yeah, there's I know everything now. I've seen it all.
Well.
Literally, you know, seen it all.
Okay. Used to be in the past. You know this only too well as well. You know, for certain reasons, for special reasons, one of the directors or one of the VPs would say, hey, they would treat, you know, you would, they would put up a lunch over at Club 33 for two as a prize to win. Or, you know, they wanted to pat you on the back as a good attaboy and they'd take you up to the club for lunch. I have been taken to lunch over at Club 33 for job well done. Not Club 33, Blue Bayou Restaurant.
Oh, okay.
been taking lunch at the Blue Bayou Restaurant for a job well done, and then later on, a week later, another VP called us on the carpet
lucky.
For it.
He doesn't know it. Sorry, Richard.
I'm sure he does.
Sorry.
I'm sure he does.
So, you know, it had a special meaning, but no one has done anything like that I can think of in the last 10 plus years.
Well, that might go into the pixie dusting episode we'll do here soon.
Yeah, that hasn't happened in the last 10 years.
Okay, so you wouldn't go and you disenchanted and you...
No, I just...
Doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't have the meat.
No
right
cachet.
There.
No cachet for him.
It has no meaning.
Would there be any private club you would join? Any exclusive, maybe not private, exclusive club you'd pay extra to be able to say, I just want to go there and relax and smoke a bowl.
Don't.
Well, he's smoking his pipe now.
My pipe now.
I call it smoking a bowl.
So, yeah. I wouldn't mind that Fullerton Club that we were talking to.
The Cigar Club.
The Cigar Club over there, yeah.
That serves hot dogs in the back.
Well, whatever, because they have any of the restaurants there in Fullerton will deliver to that
restaurant. Well, sure, but you go to their back room, and literally they were having hot dogs and, you know, really... You know, like barbecue food or
backyard
food.
Yeah, but you didn't get to
food.
Go into that very back room.
I didn't
that has the
go
big, huge,
the,
big, huge,
no.
thick
okay.
leather chairs and
All
everything.
Right, so
it was kind
not
of,
just, okay, so yeah. my reasoning, so Karen had been two or three times before I ever got to go with the dentist she worked for. And then I worked graveyard, got my job on graveyard. The first time I walked into the club, I will admit, I looked around and I'm like, what's the big deal? I don't know what I expected, but it had been built up over the years. I had walked through New Orleans going, there's a private club up there that was built Walt's place. And then I got there and I'm like, okay, is this like 1950s, 60s, you know, like the smoking club that the men, we've seen Mad Men, right? They go to those dark kind of clubs where the men sit and they smoke and they make their deals. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I've never experienced this level. You know, I mean, at Denny's or at Outback's or something. Maybe this is, I don't even think Outback's around yet. Anyways, and then I won I won a dinner for two at the club from Ron Dominguez at our summer party. They had a raffle. A lot of people put things in.
Yeah.
And I won. I don't win things. I got lucky. I won. Service was absolutely amazing. We managed to schedule a time where we could kind of see phantasmic through the trees that needed to be trimmed. We were right up by the window. I mean, you get up to go to the bathroom, you come back, your napkin's folded, they come around with these little things, they rub the table, get the crumbs off the table. You know, it's a restaurant where there's a plate that you'll never eat on, but when you sit down, it's right there.
It's right there, yeah.
Club 33, pointing the right way.
And they take it out when
they bring the food.
Yeah.
I've never eaten at that kind of level. And then we've been there on the luncheons where they were buffets.
Buffet wasn't so bad, though.
No, but not as magical or special. Is you know
$75
kind of,
a head.
The kind of service you get at a regular,
yeah,
magically expensive. So the reason I wanted to join, and call me a snob, was a little bit about the exclusivity where, I can entertain my friends now. I can work some my architectural deals with clients.
See, that would be a good reason there is for the business purpose of it.
But mostly, and this is where my geek out nerdy moment's going to be, this was Walt's place.
Yeah.
This was going to be his exclusive place. I've been to his apartment long before they opened it up to the public. In fact, I took you there to Walt's apartment for the first time.
It wasn't the first time.
Before it became a gallery?
You told me you'd never been up there. When we went up there for that ghost thing, that we call a ghost thing now, the light in the window, you said you had never been in there. Because I called you, said, Richard, on the radio, because I'm going to leave that night. Have you ever been in the apartment?
And you said, told me to call you on the phone. And
well, whatever we did. And you said, no, I've never been up there.
Okay. I will go with that story.
Thank you. Hopefully it's not went with the hair, you know. But anyways, I'd seen some of his exclusive spots, you know. And I thought this would be my last connection.
He
died so young that I'm not even sure I saw him on TV. You know, we watched Wonderful World of Disney, but it was long after he was introduced in the show. Or not long after, but enough after. that I can remember. I probably watched it maybe way 60, I don't know. I probably had a pacifier in my mouth drooling, going, my, my. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't have been quite old enough to understand what I was watching.
No.
Trust fund.
So that would have been my geeky thing, is one, exclusivity. Sounds cool, a bit pricey for that, but it would be the connection to Walt. So none of these other clubs have that connection.
No, they have connection to Bob Iger.
They seem phony to me.
Yes.
Now,
yeah, that's
if
a good
you
want to
make a private club like an Epcot club, don't call it, now, and I know it's at Constellation
Club, yeah.
But the moniker on that door said Club 33, that I saw the video of today. That's my difference. Make an Epcot. Oh, that'd be awesome. Because I think Epcot's had some private, the sponsor clubs.
I want to say they did, because
had
of
a
all
private
the,
one, which I think is Siemens.
Siemens, yeah.
Is being used for
in Ford,
something else.
Ford at World of Motion had one.
Yeah, I think every...
GM still has one over there at Test Track.
Yeah.
I think every one had their private space for the sponsor. That was just, I think, kind of came with that.
Giving money to
the
building.
You know? So that's why I think it's diluting what Club 33 is about. You want to have a private club? Quite honestly, at the Magic Kingdom, I would have kicked out Cinderella's dinner place in my club in the castle.
Yeah.
Because I think it's been bastardized there. But the adventure thing is not bad. But I bet you anything, they're double using or getting double use out of the Beacon Barrel, that kitchen or that whatever.
Yeah.
I think they're just getting...
I'm looking because they're running this ride with nobody on it.
I thought I hadn't heard it in a while.
I don't see a single person riding that thing.
Are they cycling it for the night? What time
maybe.
Is
it? Maybe.
No, well, it's only 21:19, so...
Yeah. But you notice lots of stuff is closing down and people are fading out.
Either I started ignoring it...
No, it hadn't run for a while.
Okay, so it hadn't run.
And so I went to look and say, but I don't see anybody riding.
Well, maybe the idea is we run it and people don't know we're still open.
Yeah.
We can go ride it if you want.
Yeah, well, let's wrap up.
I actually think it's a pretty stupid ride.
Yeah,
but
it's
lame.
It's kind of
dumb. I'd rather
go
do the Mater thing, which I...
Mater's fun.
Well, it's not only that, it's listening to his bullshit. It reminds me of something I'd hear from my cousins in Missouri, you know.
Well, there I was. When
Richard and I were talking. We're coming on the tram. I was asking about the refueling place. He was saying there's gas and there's natural gas.
Natural gas and gasoline.
And we said something about starting the engine. I said, at least they don't have to use the shotgun shell to
start it going,
And he goes, I think I remember doing that once in my cousin's farmer, the wife's.
Yeah, her grandfather's place.
You ever seen that, where the old tractors, where they start with a shotgun shell?
Some of the airplane engines used to start with a shotgun shell.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Good point.
Well, all right. Have we finished the Club 33 discussion?
I
think we've beat this horse pretty good.
Good. So then I'm going to do the wrap-up patter here.
We should ask people to let us know if and why they would become a Club 33 member. And do they feel like it's a delusion, or are they just happy there's more opportunity?
So give us some feedback on that.
Yeah.
Dear listeners.
Like always.
Do you think it's been diluted, and why or why not would you join if money were not an object?
Now it's time to sprinkle the pixie dust so we're not so negative.
Yeah.
This was such a fun show to do in the park.
We enjoy coming to do these.
And they're fun in the park.
Maybe next time we'll do live. Who knows?
We need to stir up a local or two we knew around here to come join us.
Oh, yeah.
Of John Dubb. Haven't seen John in a while. Need to get his ass out.
We should check his bench on the way out. with all that being said, thank you for joining us tonight. And we thank you for listening. Have a good night.